Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
It's such a joy for me to bring God's word to you today, Watoto Church. I believe the word we're going to hear is a faith-building word. But before we dive into God's word, I want to remind you, next Sunday, we're going to be giving a Miracle Missions offering together. Really looking forward to that. And this year, we're giving to celebrate the faithfulness of God and to extend His kingdom all across the world. So, please begin to pray. Talk to God about it. Let Him speak to you about what He wants you to give. But also, prepare. Begin to set it aside and then plan on how you want to give it. You might give it in one go or you're going to give it over time. Whatever the Lord asks you to do, come on, let's give sacrificially. Let's give extravagantly to extend the kingdom of God all across the world. And our theme, this miracle offering, has been faithful God. Yes, God has been faithful. And Pastor Julius helped us understand that God's faithfulness means that God remains true and loyal to His word and His promises no matter what. In other words, people change, seasons change, but our God never changes. He's absolutely constant, absolutely true, and absolutely loyal. Psalm 145, a psalm that celebrates the faithfulness of God. This is what it says in verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. And we've understood over the last couple of weeks that our God is faithful to restore and our God is faithful to sustain. Well, today I want to talk to you about our faithful God who is provider. Come on, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank You for Your word. Anoint Your word. Anoint me as I teach it. Lord, I pray that You transform us by the power of Your word. All of this for Your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. Fantastic. Well, as you read the newspapers, as you watch the news, as you just scroll through social media platforms, there's so many stories that are attempting to describe how difficult the global economic situation is. And it has affected individuals, it has affected nations, it has affected families, it has affected companies. And so the last 18 months since the outbreak of the COVID pandemic have been difficult months. So we see stories of people who have lost jobs because companies are winding down operations in a country or in a city, or the company is downsizing the number of its staff members. Or we also see entire departments being closed, and so people have lost jobs. We see businesses struggling because there's not enough capital with the ownership to keep the business going. Or we also see people who have really depleted their savings because they're trying to make ends meet. It has been difficult. I almost hear that scream in someone's heart crying, how am I going to make it? Lord, how are we going to survive? And this condition of lack, where people do not have enough, has always been part of the human story. In fact, when you read the Bible, you come across stories where people have lacked in so many ways. 2 Kings chapter 4 is one such story of a lady whose husband had just died. He served with Elisha in the company of the prophets. But before he died, he had debts. Now his creditors were coming to his wife and they were going to take away two of his sons as slaves. She reaches out to Elisha because she didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to go. And maybe that's how you feel today. Genesis chapter 41 tells us of the story where God allows Joseph to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. He tells him there'll be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so Joseph was appointed by Pharaoh to lead them through that process. Well, the 7 years of famine came and they affected many nations across the world. In Genesis chapter 42, we see Jacob asking his sons to get up and go to Egypt because he's heard that there is some food there, there is grain there. He says, go get something for us to eat or else we will die. They were experiencing a global economic crisis and God's people were affected as well. And that is true of our situation today. Christians and other people as well have been affected by this global economic situation. But the thing I love about Scripture is this. No matter how big the difficulty, no matter how severe the lack, the Bible teaches us that God always comes through as provider. Yes, that is who He is. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And so I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to read just a number of selected scriptures from that portion just to help us appreciate who God is as provider, because He is that faithful to provide. Now, the children of Israel, of course, in Exodus 16 are on their way to the promised land. But as they go there, they begin to remember their days in Egypt where they were eating meat. And then they begin to complain to Moses and Aaron. And they say, have you brought us out here to kill us? And when they begin to complain, God then speaks to Moses. And this is what He says. Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick as much food as they need for that day. And I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Wow. In verse 8, then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, he told the people. Each family, the Bible tells us in verse 18, had just what it needed. In other words, God provided for every single family. Wow, it's really amazing. In verse 29, that portion tells us, and God said they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why He gives you a two-day supply on the sixth day so that there will be enough for 2 days. Isn't God absolutely amazing? He pays attention to the details. God knows your need and will provide exceedingly abundantly so that you have all that you need. He provided double on the sixth day so that they could rest on the Sabbath day. They didn't have to work on the Sabbath. They would have 2 day worth supply of manna, and they would not have to struggle on the seventh day. God is that faithful. Can I encourage you? God knows your need and will provide specifically for your need. In verse 32, the Bible tells us, then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container. It's like 2 liters container with manna. And this is the food that God gave them. It's food that rained down from heaven. Fill it with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt. Isn't that absolutely amazing? God provides for us in such an exceedingly abundantly above all kind of way so that we can tell the story of God's faithfulness as provider even to the generations. And so He says, preserve some of it so that you can tell the generations of the way I looked after you in your day of trouble. That's absolutely amazing. And then, of course, in verse 35, so the people of Israel ate manna for how many? 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. But you know what? That wasn't all. I love Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5. The Lord Himself said, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Can you believe that? People walking for 40 years and their sandals grew with their feet. Their clothes grew as they grew taller. It's absolutely amazing. Those who were in the wilderness at 5 had the same clothes at 45. I just don't know how well they smelled, but I gotta trust that the Lord preserved them even that way. 40 years of God's supernatural provision. Friends, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He provided for the Israelites in the wilderness, and He provide for you today. I want to declare that the Lord will provide for all of your bills. The Lord will help you clear those debts. The Lord will open for you to get a job. The Lord will supply the capital you need to get that business going. The Lord will provide for your tuition. Yes, the Lord will provide for that project that you are doing. The Lord will provide for your wedding day in this season. Why? He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, and He is faithful to provide. If you believe it, say amen and amen. Wow. The Bible has a lot to teach us about the faithfulness of God as provider. One of the portions I love is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The story here is that in Jerusalem, believers were going through a tough time. And so Paul goes among the churches that he had planted, he visits, and he's raising an offering. One of the first churches to say, yes, we want to be part of that offering was the Corinthian church. But along the way, they had slowed down. And so Paul wanted to encourage them to finish their pledge, to complete their pledge, so that they could make a contribution to meet the needs of struggling believers in Jerusalem. And so he uses the example of the Macedonian church to inspire the Corinthians to finish the work of generosity that they had begun. And so he tells that story in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. This is what he said. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than what we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God had wanted them to do. It's absolutely amazing. A poor church giving an extravagant and sacrificial gift to provide for the needs of others who are going through trouble. We're going to come back to that story because it's central to what God wants to tell us today. Paul then continues on to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, teaching the Corinthians about how God provides. Because yes, they were going to engage in generosity, but he needed to help them to understand what the foundation really is. It is the character of God who is provider. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 12. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. It's absolutely amazing. Well, in this portion of scripture, we get to see that our faithful God provides two ways. Number one, our faithful God provides for you. Absolutely, our faithful God provides for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, we read it. It said, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Let's start at the end of that phrase. God provides bread to eat. In other words, our faithful God provides for your daily bread. He provides for your basic needs. That is how God provides for you. He knows your need. The Bible tells us, even before we mention it, he already knows it. He provides for our need. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. That is how we ought to pray. And our God is faithful not just to hear that prayer, but to answer that prayer. He supplies what we need for our daily needs. And later on in the same chapter, Jesus taught us that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be fearful because we have needs. Instead, let us trust the Lord. And this is how Jesus said it in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, don't focus on what you lack. Focus on God. Serve God. Prioritize God. Depend on God, and he will take care of your needs. So friends, number one, God is faithful to provide for you. Is there any need in your life? Trust God, who's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful today and in the days that lie ahead because he's a faithful provider. And just to celebrate the faithfulness of God as provider, I want us to watch this video, a testimony of the Magambos who tell us of how faithful our God is to provide. Let's watch that video together.
End of last year, we were on holiday as family and we got a COVID infection. And this is at the end of the holiday, we're supposed to be traveling back home. So, you know, as they require for you to do testing to be able to travel. It was a bit challenging at first because we're thinking, wow, this is different. It was challenging, but we prayed about it. It was intense, yes. Mm. We prayed about it. We fasted, went into a 3-day fast and prayer as a family. And we thank God because our stay was for 3 weeks. We had to stay an extra 3 weeks. But during that time, God kept us. Nobody had serious symptoms and all. I think were what they call symptomatic, really. For all four people to be asymptomatic, we had a few things here and there. But all in all, we were well. God provided. God provided all, paid for all our bills. Everything was kept well. We came back home safely. We were able to continue with our lives. We had no side effects. Because they say there's always side effects. There was no side effects. Basically, it was like an extended holiday, but it wasn't one that we had planned for. But hey. Ooh. And God has been truly faithful. We've been part of My Miracle Offering. We've been doing the whole My Missions Miracle Offering.
Since the beginning. Oh yes.
While I was working in Tanzania, we had similar offering, an annual offering. Yeah. And I remember at one point we even had an argument between the two of us because I was paying that offering in the church in Tanzania. And Sheila felt strongly that, why aren't we paying, in Watoto? And we had to come with a compromise on being able to basically give this sacrificial offering in both these churches where we were mutually being fed.
Yeah.
You know, giving for us is a no-brainer.
True.
Because God gave us everything.
True.
And any opportunity we have to sow into His kingdom, we know it comes back to us 30, 60, 100-fold in many ways, not just financially. But, you know, peace of mind, having a family that's united, health. Personally, I'm looking forward to the MMO this year.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're going to have in-person church services, and I'm looking forward to dancing and celebrating and giving back to God.
For me, My Miracle Offering is about being able to reach other people because we've heard from the testimonies from the church about the many lives that have been enriched, have been saved, the churches that have been enriched from this offering that we give.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes in, well, yay, we get to give our offering as well and celebrate with the rest of the church all over the world.
What an amazing story of God's faithfulness to provide. Listen, what God has done for the Magambos, He will do for you in Jesus' name. So number one, our God is faithful to provide for you. But number two, our God is faithful to provide through you. Yes, God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. God not only wants to get it to you, God wants to get it through you. God wants you to experience His faithfulness as provider so that through you, others will experience His faithfulness as provider. Yes, God wants you to be a channel. God wants you to be a conduit so that He can provide through you. Paul refers to that as seed. 2 Corinthians 9:10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. Seed for the farmer. Now, in the same way that a farmer takes a seed and sows it into the ground, he doesn't eat the seed, no. He eats the bread, but he takes the seed. The purpose of the seed is to be sown so that there may be a generous harvest. That is why we have the seed. Well, the question is, how do we sow? That's a very good question. In the kingdom of God, we sow through generosity. Yes. And I know some of you are confused. You're saying, Pastor Brian, it doesn't make sense. Well, listen, my friend. God wants us to take a portion of our finances and give it away so that through our generosity, someone will experience the faithfulness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 68. Paul tells the Corinthians, now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Well, it is clear, friends, that generosity is the way that God wants to provide through us. He promises that those who give generously or those who sow generously will themselves be blessed. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 verse 38 said it this way, give and it will be given to you in a measure that is pressed down, shaken together and running over. And Paul re-echoes that word by saying, listen, if you give generously, you will reap generously. The purpose of the blessing that you receive is not just for you to sit and grow fat and be happy. No, the purpose of the blessing is so that you will be a channel of blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 tells us, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So the one that gives is blessed and receives more so that they can continue to give even greater. That is the purpose of the blessing. And that's why the story of the Macedonian church is fascinating. They begged for the opportunity to give. Yes, they had challenges, and Paul didn't want to burden them, but they begged for the opportunity to give, and they went over and above in their generosity. They exceeded the expectations that Paul and the other apostles had. Why? I discovered they did that because of two things. Number one, they gave themselves first to the Lord. In other words, when they had the gospel, they were pierced in their hearts and they surrendered their hearts to Jesus as Lord and Savior. But they didn't just surrender their hearts, they surrendered everything they had. You see, friends, generosity is a consequence of the work of Jesus in your heart. When Jesus comes into your heart, he breaks a stronghold of greed and envy, and he turns your heart into a generous heart, a loving heart. And through generosity is the way you demonstrate your love for God and your love for others. That's what happens. The gospel transforms you. But the Bible says not only did they give themselves to the Lord, they gave themselves to the apostles. So when the apostles came to teach, they had the word of God and they embraced it. And they believed we are part of the family of God. And those believers in Jerusalem that are struggling are our brothers and sisters. So they begged for the opportunity to give. They didn't want to miss the opportunity to be a blessing because they themselves had been blessed by the ministry of the apostles that had been sent from the church in Jerusalem. And so this was their way of saying thank you. This was their way of saying we want to be part of what God is doing through you. And if God can use us, we want to be a part of that. I absolutely love that story. Now, as God provides through you, he'll provide through you to, number one, meet the needs of others. Through your generosity, God provides for the needs of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Amen. God provides for you so that he can provide through you to meet the needs of others. I love that story in Luke chapter 9 of that boy who comes with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He comes to a crusade by Jesus to listen to Jesus, but he doesn't know in that moment something significant is going to happen. Well, they're looking for what to feed the people. This boy offers, isn't his heart beautiful? He offers what he has as his lunch pack. Jesus takes that. He blesses that. He's able to provide for the mammoth crowd that was there, and they had baskets left over of food to eat. Wow. When you give what you have, God provides through you to meet the needs of others. I love the stories here at Watoto Church over the years in the faithfulness to the miracle offering as we've walked in obedience to give generously and extravagantly. You've heard the stories over the years as we've given our miracle offering. We were able to build houses in Syria for refugees. Absolutely amazing. God through us provided for their need. Over 900 families were blessed last year in the middle and at the heart of the COVID season, which was difficult. Through us, God provided a meal pack for more than 900 families. Through you, Watoto Church, God provided protective gear for the health workers who were at the front of fighting the COVID pandemic here in Uganda. Through your generosity, God met a need out there. And I want to encourage us, this miracle offering, let's give extravagantly, let's give sacrificially. Why? Through our generosity, God is going to meet the needs of others in different cities, in different nations all across the world. But secondly, not only does God provide through you to meet needs, God provides through you for his mission, which is the gospel. God's heart has always been to reconcile people that are far from him, people that are in sin, people that are not born again. He wants to reconcile them to himself. And when we give of our finances, friends, that work goes towards enabling the preaching of the gospel and the work of taking the gospel into every city and nation, possible. Why? We do this in obedience to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Friends, through our generosity, even in this year's miracle offering, our faithful God will provide for the preaching of the good news all across the world. Yes, I believe we're going to be part of taking the gospel to the nations. So I want to encourage you to be a part of it. In previous miracle offerings, God has allowed us to plant churches in Burundi, to partner and plant churches in Canada, to bless the ministries in Israel as they take the gospel to non-believing Israelites. Through our generosity, we're able to support the online ministry, taking the gospel literally all across the world. And friends, this miracle offering, we have that same opportunity. Let's give generously, my friend. Let's give generously and let God through us do a work that is going to take the gospel all across the nations as we give towards his mission. Wow. God will not only provide for us, God will provide through us to meet the needs of others and to partner with him to fulfill that great commission, which is to preach the gospel. Listen, my friend. As we give, we're going to take the gospel all across the world. But I have a question for you. Have you believed the good news about Jesus? Have you believed him as Savior and Lord? If you haven't, right this moment, put your faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord. Will you pray this prayer after me? Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe in you, Jesus, as the only Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. Change me. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. Do let us know that you've given your heart to Jesus. Write to us, connect@watotochurch.com. We're going to get in touch with you and help you grow into that disciple of Jesus that he wants you to be. Real quickly, before I hand over the service, I'm going to pray that God will provide for you and meet your needs, because that is how faithful he is. Jesus, we commit the needs of your people into your hands. You're a faithful God that has provided before, and you will do it again. I pray for a miracle of provision, even as your children trust you right now. Meet them at their point of need. Give them a testimony, and may they say, look what the Lord has done. We're trusting you for testimony upon testimony in this season. As your people put your kingdom first, I believe you're going to meet their needs in a measure that is exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can think, ask, or imagine. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.